It's a News Buzz edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Former University of Iowa president and former Iowa Public Radio jazz host David Skorden has been named the new secretary of the Smithsonian Institute. He will step into that position in July of 2015. Skorden is a cardiologist who began his long career in Iowa in 1980 when he became an instructor at the University of Iowa. Skorden's time with the UI culminated with his service as the 19th president of the university beginning in 2003. In 2006, he left the UI to become president of Cornell University, and now he's been named the new secretary of the Smithsonian, a $1.3 billion collection of museums, research centers, and a zoological park. We have the great pleasure of having President David Skorden join us for a few minutes today. Welcome to River to River.
Ben, thanks a lot for having me. It's great to hear your voice. Great to be on Iowa Public Radio again. I have so many fond memories of being locked in that building on Sunday nights, wondering if anybody was listening to As Night Falls Latin Jazz. And I clearly remember once in a while doing a Name That Tune,
yes,
to see if anybody would answer.
And
once in a while, somebody did answer. And I remember bringing the listenership at that time of night from nothing to nearly nothing. Those were the days.
I am sitting, as I speak to you, literally a few feet from where you sat to do As Night Falls, share your Latin jazz music. I understand you are the first physician and first jazz musician to become secretary of the Smithsonian. Now, which of those attributes more surprises you as the new secretary of the Smithsonian?
You know, I'm not sure I'm the first musician, jazz or otherwise, to have a role in leadership of the Smithsonian. I just wouldn't know that. But I believe I am the first doc to do it. And, you know, both those vocations and avocations, I think, are relevant. Having had the aspiration to be a musician and, as you know, because of lack of talent and lack of courage, that never really worked out super well. But having the understanding of the importance of the arts and closely linked humanities to understanding what it is to be human, it sounds corny, but I really believe it, is hugely important. But also being a doc, a life in medicine has taught me that you can't solve all the problems of an individual, let alone a society, with science alone. So I think both of these contributed somewhat to it. And in both those areas, I learned a lot and really matured and evolved in Iowa City.
Mm-hmm. What excites you going in most about your new position? What appeals to you most?
You know, a lot of the things that appeal to me about the Smithsonian are similar to things that appealed to me about working in a research university at the University of Iowa and then at Cornell. The huge breadth of activity. I remember being at Iowa all those years, those decades, and thinking that there's an institution that does everything from space exploration and the James Van Allen legacy all the way to the Writers' Workshop, all on the same campus, all under the same roof, so to speak. And so that's similar. Secondly, the mission of discovering and creating, those are things that are done in universities, of course, and at the Smithsonian in many ways. And then thirdly, the idea of getting it out to the public, education. And in the course of a university, in that case, it's a formal education where at the end of the day you get a diploma, certificate, something to show that you did it. At the Smithsonian, it's been more informal education, but education nonetheless. And public engagement, the big public interface, has always been very important to me. I don't think the public interface comes any bigger than it is at the Smithsonian, where you can walk into any of those 19 museums without an admission fee and 364 days a year. It's really something.
Mm-hmm. In the past year, the Smithsonian has struggled through, I guess, last fall, a government shutdown. I understand the Smithsonian saw its budget cut due to sequestration by some $41 million. Fundraising, a big challenge you'll be facing, I imagine?
Yes. You know, I don't know of any not-for-profit or for-profit enterprise since the recession that has not had to revisit its business model. Certainly universities have revisited our business models in a big way, and that's true of every kind of entity that I'm familiar with. And in the not-for-profit world, philanthropic fundraising is an increasingly important part of turning the lights on, so to speak, and making progress and growing. So I do expect and look forward to participating when my time comes at the Smithsonian, participating in helping to encourage people to invest in that wonderful institution.
President Skorton, you have an impressive record of fundraising. After helping to bring in something like $1 billion during your time at the University of Iowa, you've brought in more than $5 billion during your time at Cornell. What's the key to fundraising at that level?
Oh, first, I just want to gently correct what you said. I sure didn't bring in $1 million at Iowa and $5 billion at Cornell. I was part of a big team,
right.
And at the University of Iowa, and I know you know this, President Mary Sue Coleman, who preceded me, and her colleagues did the vast majority of that fundraising for that billion-dollar campaign, and I was just the fortunate person to be in the saddle, so to speak, when the campaign ended. But and I've had a chance to work with a terrific group of people at Cornell, and as you say, the results have really been breathtaking. I think that the key thing is to be able to match the interest of a person of means who wants to invest in an institution, match that with the needs of the institution, try to find a happy coming together of interest on the part of the contributor and needs or aspirations or goals on the part of the institution. And at Iowa, at Cornell, and I'm sure at the Smithsonian, there's such a broad, broad range of exciting things happening that I think getting to know the place well and getting to know the people well who might invest in it, that's the trick, and to get them matched up.
Mm-hmm. David Skorton, before we say goodbye, you spent more than a quarter century at the University of Iowa, living in Iowa. What time in Iowa do you remember most fondly?
I have so many fond memories of Iowa. It's hard to know where to start. But I will tell you that in addition to my son being born in Iowa City, which, of course, meant so much to me, and many other personal things that happened there that were very, very good, I remember the University of Iowa and Iowa City as a community where anything is possible, where people have a chance to dream big dreams, whether it's the Cassini Project circling Saturn, or whether it's creating in the midst of the Great Depression what would turn out to be the predominant and preeminent writing program in the country to this day. Those are things that happen because people have imagination, they have aspirations, and they really, really believe it's okay to dream and really take a swing at making those dreams come true. And I learned a lot about that by watching and learning from people in Iowa City. And one other personal thing I'll mention is that Frank Conroy, the late Frank Conroy, who, as you know, for, almost two decades was head of the Writers' Workshop, was a very close friend of mine, my best friend. And I remember playing in a band with him. He was a very accomplished musician. I remember after hearing me do some alto sax solos, he named the band Close Enough. And I remember what that was like to know Frank, to learn from him, and to be taken down a couple of notches by the master.
Hmm. And Frank Conroy, also one of the co-hosts of As Night Falls, which you hosted on Iowa Public Radio several years ago. Do you remember your opening line to your Latin jazz program by chance, President Skorton?
I'll never forget it. In the background, the music was Oye Como Va, and I used to say, as night falls over the River City and all of eastern Iowa, it's time for jazz.
Oh, that's a wonderful way to end this conversation. We'll have Tito Puente in the background play as we say goodbye to you. President David Skorton has been named the new secretary of the Smithsonian Institute. He'll step into those shoes in July of 2015. President Skorton, what a pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you, and the very best of luck in your new position.
Thanks so much, Ben. Wonderful to talk to you, and please say hi to everybody at Iowa Public Radio for me.
I will.